I think we need to, you know, start thinking about the kind of town we want to live in. And I also understand people are hurting.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime in your browser at WFPR.FM and in a local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, the dial, the knobs, the push button, whatever it is. It's preset to 102.9 and it's always there ready for you. Here in our glorious studio today with Town Councilor Max Marangello. Max, thank you for coming.
I was adjusting my dial and like the Outer Limits theme came on.
Oh, it did?
I don't even know how I know that. That's like, you know, I think that's a dated reference, but it's I don't know, it's weird stuff going on. So
sometimes when you do get into the dials, especially on this kind of a low band station, you know, in certain areas of Franklin, you can't quite always get it. You get some other rock station or you get something else that perhaps is bouncing in from somewhere else.
But yeah, well, I'm glad that I've tuned into the right station for today.
So. We're here.
We're here.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. So as part of my catching up, for those who may be aware, I was away for a couple of weeks, and you had three meetings in those times.
How dare you miss those meetings, Steve? How dare you? You're not allowed to have a vacation. It's not permitted.
Well, you know, it was unfortunate. You know, you make plans in advance in the arrears, not knowing what was coming up, and it was like, oh well, okay. So I missed three council meetings.
Okay. So we had the first one was the I think you missed was the joint budget between us and the school committee.
Yes.
And so
at the school committee, so they hosted, you participated, you also got some food.
Yes, so they fed us from the people they use for their dining for their students.
Food services.
Yeah. And it was pretty good, I have to say. I was impressed.
Yeah, so, it's not kind of the food that we went up that we were used
to. It was not gruel. It was not gruel. It was way better. We deliberate. I mean, we previously had discussed maybe having some strategic planning exercise, and we sort of sat down. We listened to three of the proposals. It took a while, and at the end of the day, we thought, well, we sort of talked about it. We had a discussion. We all went around the room, and we bonded. But we ended up deciding we didn't want to do the strategic plan. So I think on one hand, it was, you know, I personally was in favor of having an exercise that would allow us to get a plan moving forward. But I think a lot of the people in the room felt, oh, maybe we could do this ourselves, or maybe we could, you know, they didn't feel like it was necessary. And I think in the end, though, I think the meeting, many people felt the meeting was productive because we ended up being able to sort of come together as a group and get to know each other better and sort of hear each other out. And so I think while the outcome may have not been how I personally wanted it to be, we put a lot of time into this, but at the end of the day, I think it was good that we were able to, like I said, jive and sort of come together and at least try to work things out and come to a path forward as a group and try to figure out what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it's not completely over. I mean, we just say, well, come December, you know, we haven't made any headway with coming up on something. Maybe we'll revisit it.
And the only issue there, as I've said in some other forums, I applaud you for the effort to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. That's cool. I'm a little concerned that you might not have the bandwidth and or respectfully some of that project management type skills to really pull it off. By December, if you haven't made any more progress, you've got at least two valid, tossing aside the third one, who at least consensus was really wasn't in the mix anyway. You've got two valid competition pieces, consultants you can bring in. The only other big issue is it just slides the decision down, because effectively, at least the budget, which we'll be getting into, the budget was proposed this year to use some free cash to give the time to come up with the strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing with that timeline and then don't deliver, we're going to have to make some other budget decisions. You have some time, but you got to move too. So,
and I think part of it is also the work of the Joint Budget Subcommittee and the feeling like that was another vehicle that we could do stuff in, in addition to sort of what we're doing together as a joint meeting. Hopefully, you know, the Joint Budget Subcommittee will produce some results around where we go forward. The other thing is, you know, just I wanted to clarify, you know, there's sort of a straw poll at the end of the meeting, you know, what we wanted to do. And, you know, I said that, you know, because the school committee didn't want to do, you know, go forward with the strategic plan, a majority of the school committee members, I would not, you know, vote in favor of it. And that wasn't because, you know, anything. I mean, I think part of that wasn't necessarily because I, you know, as much as I support the school system, my reason was, you know, we're working together. This is a collaboration.
Right.
So, you know, it would be wrong for me to force that upon the school system. Mm-hmm. If I wanted that, which I do, it would be wrong of me to force that upon the school system when they don't want it.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. As you gather together, it's got to be like the Three Musketeers, all for one and one for all. You got to do it.
Yeah.
And deliver on that. Mm-hmm. And if you do, kudos to you for one, taking the effort, two, for delivering, and then we'll be in a better position. Yeah. So, absolutely.
So that was that meeting.
That was that meeting.
That was that meeting.
You had two budget
yes,
hearings.
Two for the price of two.
Two for the price of two, yes.
We started off with citizens' comments and usual, you know, pledge allegiance and all sort of the counselor comments for the first meeting.
Right.
We didn't do that the second meeting. It was just go dive right into business.
Right.
Although we did have, I think, a liquor license or something the second meeting, but it wasn't anything of major consequence for mm-hmm. in terms of the budget.
Right. There were no budget decisions,
yeah.
Clearly. Lots of discussions, lots of questions, mm-hmm. lots of answers. But,
so
yeah.
Basically, each, you know, we went through the budget list and we flagged things we wanted, departments that we wanted to sort of talk to,
mm-hmm.
To get more information. And so we flagged a good number of departments. And I think, I don't know if I should go down, I guess I could go down the list. But I think, you know, there's some, some positions, like the fire department, they're not asking for anything in addition, although they did get cuts restored for the ambulance
the
previous year.
Right.
So that's
last year's budget,
yeah.
There were some adjustments. So that
yeah.
just carries forward
right.
as is
right.
at this point, yeah.
And then, the biggest contention is what, you know, I think for the counselors is, you know, above, we have level service, what is above that and what is below that?
And is it really level service against what?
Right.
Since there's, quote, some restorations in there.
Right.
so
I'm saying, what's above level service? What's the restoration? What are we restoring
right.
from level service? And what are we cutting from level service?
Yeah.
And I think that, that's been a major point of contention for a lot of the counselors mm-hmm. and how they're going to approach that.
Especially with the use of free cash,
yes.
as I understand.
Yes.
Yes.
So, because, you know, when you use that free cash, it disappears. And then the next year, your deficit goes up more, and then you have less free cash to fix it, and then eventually you're going to run out. And then you don't have any more free cash. So, I think that, you know, it's like over $4 million, in FY 29, over $4 million deficit projected for FY 29, which means we're going to, you know, if we use up free cash and then some, we're not going to be able to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we're going to have to figure out a way forward. I think, you know, if the library was able to reallocate some of the funds within level service to bring back Sunday hours,
mm-hmm.
DPW, I believe, had some restoration. Originally it was going to be for certain line items, but Jamie said that he wants to move it for snow. I'm not sure if it's back into snow. I have to clarify, find out some more information on that myself
right.
personally.
That may be in this new update
yes.
that just came out, because I believe at least from the snow and ice portion, mm-hmm. whatever had been in the snow and ice stabilization account mm-hmm. is being moved to this year's budget to balance because, oh, by the way, people may recall, winter wasn't that long ago.
No,
while we didn't have a whole lot of snow, we had a lot of weather events
yeah.
and we just kind of like blew
yeah.
by everything.
So we need to restore that account. But I do think that DPW will be restoring some summer help regardless of the outcome of how we vote.
That
so,
was in there, yes.
Yeah,
and I believe I've seen the hiring notices out, and certainly
yeah.
summer students are eager to, you know,
yeah.
use the hours and the time and work on their TANs in addition to accomplishing a bunch of stuff.
I understand, you know, it is a good amount of work and it's cheap labor, not cheap labor, but it's
reasonable
labor. I do feel that, you know, the council should have had the final say on that, and it appears that they don't. So,
Well, you will.
Yeah.
when the budget comes.
Right. But if basically the DPW director said, regardless of what the line item is going to be, we're going to reallocate something to summer help.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. So, you know, we had the Board of Assessors, which I mentioned before, is going to restore a position for – not restore a position, add a position. It wasn't there before around getting administrative support or administrative assistant. That would take off some of the load for some of the assessors to actually do assessing.
Right.
And that, in theory, would help us drive personal property growth.
Right.
And if we do that, then we actually get more money in the future that we could use towards the budget. So in Jamie Helen's revised budget, he actually increased the amount of new growth revenue projected because of that. So it kind of balances itself out.
Be kind of that, and then there's also an additional person within inspection
yes.
as well, because they're related. Sometimes the assessors need to do the assessment time, but then there's also inspections that need to happen that tie together. So, yeah, between the two, it seemed to make sense.
And then there was also the police department. They wanted to restore two positions that were lost in the last override.
SROs.
Well, they're not just SROs. People always say SROs.
Well, they're school resource officers, but they're community service offices as well.
And that's their primary responsibility. I mean, they also do stuff with the seniors, with, you know, stuff in the community. So it's not just school resources, but it's other things for the community as well. I think there's been sort of different approaches taken by my colleagues, and I don't speak for them, but I think that Councillor Calloway Tripp and Councillor Rithiff were both, you know, more sort of concerned about using free cash, and Councillor LeBlanc was more eager to sort of have those positions we need and sort of ask, you know, ask for it later, you know.
Strategic funding, I think, has been mentioned, and clearly Jamie in his first memo said, you know, the free cash use, he admitted he doesn't want to do it on a regular basis, but going back to what we talked about in terms of the strategic plan, by using it now and potentially next year, which would still get us away from that other deficit problem we talked about in 2029, would allow by the time to get to the strategic plan, assuming the strategic plan is truly going to give us some resolution. So, you know, it's kind of pay me now, pay me later. Might as well, if we do it structurally, do it strategically, which I think so far has been coming out, that should work.
So I think for me, I think that there's been two issues that I've been sort of juggling in my head. First is, okay, we're using free cash now. We need enough free cash in the bank to be able to balance for at least two fiscal years so we could gather our wherewithal to come up with a plan. And I was concerned originally that we wouldn't have enough free cash to last 2 years.
Right.
It was able to last this year, but what about next year?
Right.
And so, you know, I sent an email recently to Jamie Helen, the town administrator, and I said, you know, are we going to have enough free cash to balance this? Could you tell us with 95% confidence, as a scientific, can't say 100, no one could ever say 100, but can you say with 95% confidence that, you know, we'll have enough free cash to balance the budget, you know, within the next two fiscal years? And he says, barring, you know, the state income tax being repealed or some other calamity, we will be fine for the next two fiscal years.
Right.
Yeah. So that alleviated some of the stress on me.
Sure.
In terms of some of these new positions. I think one of my concern has been with the previous override, we were very clear that, you know, this is what is going, you know, this is what we don't have the money for if we don't pass it. And and I think the two SROs were, the two community service officers were the most visible of that. And I don't feel comfortable restoring those two positions right now, but I do support asking the voters to say, hey, you know, we cut these in the past. It's up to you whether you want to restore that.
Right.
And, you know, I was knocking on doors the last override, making sure, trying to save those officers.
Right.
I was knocking on every single door. Well, not every single door. I was knocking on doors
as many as I could
to save those officers. And, you know, I'm going to be knocking on those doors again because I, you know, I don't want just those two. I want to have a full, I think the police chief said 63 is what they would want for a fully staffed department. And I would fight for every single one of those.
Sure. Yeah, because the fire department, I'm not sure he specified a number, but he would need more. And clearly, even in the FinCom sessions, which I'm more familiar with, because of the increase in volume, And to fully staff the third ambulance, effectively, is only 40 hours. But to fully staff it across the 7 days would require at least 2, maybe 4 additional. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they both need more. Mm-hmm. DPW mm-hmm. clearly would need more right. because they haven't had any increase, and yet we had, what, mm-hmm. 200 road miles, and now mm-hmm. we're well over 200 right. road miles. So their workload right. is continuing
and
to increase.
I think, you know, to be honest, I've had it with treading water. I think we need to, you know, start thinking about the kind of town we want mm-hmm. to live in. Yeah. And I also understand people are hurting. You know, I live under 200% of the poverty level. I get it. Mm-hmm. And I think we need support for people who need extra support. We need, relief for people's water, trash, sewer. And I fought for that. And I fought and passed as a citizen the low income senior tax exemption right. for people who are struggling.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, we can have relief for people who need it, and we can say, hey, you know, if you have more, we need to all pitch in as a community to fund the services mm-hmm. that we want. But we need to be frugal about it. We can't just, you know, spend willy-nilly. We got to make sure we're investing wisely in our tax dollars. And I think we've done a good job of that.
Right. Yeah, clearly we get a great bang for the buck. We could get more with more. We just need to figure out what that more is going to get us. And then build some consensus for that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the town, like I said, has a very good fiscal discipline. You know, we're short-staffed in the fire department, we have an ISO 1 rating. And one of the questions I asked each of the departments was, are you accredited?
Right.
And if you cut 5% of your budget, would you lose your accreditation?
Yes.
And so the fire department said, hey, even right now with being fully, you know, funded, we're pretty close to losing it. Mm-hmm. With the fire department, their accreditation is optional. It's not mandatory. Only very few fire departments actually have it. But what it does do is it lowers homeowners' insurance rates. So if we don't have this ISO status, you're going to be paying a bigger bill because mm-hmm. we're not going to be having the same safety profile as other towns.
Right.
With the police department, I think I asked the same question. He had a little bit, but he said that, you know, if he had to cut 5%, he'd have to let go one of the officers who does the accreditation.
Right.
And that would be, you know, make it much harder to meet those goals.
Sure.
And they would lose the accreditation. Yeah. And, you know, I think part of having a safe police force that, you know, I hear about, you know, other towns where people are worried about over-policing. Mm-hmm. And part of that is if you don't have officers that are trained, you don't have these standards for people to follow,
right.
you have problems. And then the library, I asked them about the accreditation issue.
Yep.
They're on the verge. I mean, they're hairs away of losing
right
it.
On that line.
And that would be catastrophic. And first public library, because we wouldn't be able to borrow books from other towns anymore.
Right. The Minuteman Network we would lose access to, yeah. which is key. There may be an option, because they have used it before, to ask for a waiver. But in order to ask for the waiver, you also have to kind of commit mm-hmm. that we're going to be out right. of this. And without a commitment, then right. what does the waiver do?
So I think out of all the departments, the library kind of is in the worst spot, mm-hmm. personally.
At least from a certification perspective.
Yeah, from a certification perspective. Yeah. There's not as many other I'm not trying to think if I'm missing any other certifications or standards. The town administrator's office doesn't have any certifications or anything. Which is the other part we forgot to mention is they're looking to add a deputy town administrator. Part of it is in the town administrator's contract, so it's a legal liability for the mm-hmm. town not to have that. But I also understand the need for, it's kind of like a chicken running with its head cut off. If you don't have a brain on top of your head, you're not going to run as a government.
Well, and I think the council in its first, call it what, 7, 8 months, you haven't been able to have some of your subcommittee meetings because Jamie has to run the meetings mm-hmm. and he doesn't have that assistance. Mm-hmm. Now at least that his other admin assistant got in there, Julie can help, but mm-hmm. with the deputy restored, then you can divide and conquer more mm-hmm. so other things could happen on a much more easily scheduled basis without, you know. Yeah.
And I do think, you know, I've heard some people complain about the salary figure of the deputy. And I do think if the, you know, town was a company, you know, you see, you know, a company of that size, they'd be, you know, they would be getting paid more.
Yeah, it'd be commensurate with the role.
Right.
And clearly,
yeah.
you know, it's a $170 million budget strategically providing us services. The other piece that we haven't discussed yet, it's also kind of a succession plan.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back when Jeff Nutting was here, he brought in Jamie, part of his succession plan. And then there was a whole bunch of department heads that Jamie helped as they went through all their changes. And then Jeff finally stepped back, and Jamie has now taken over, but now we've hindered him in trying to do that.
Even that, it's in the interim. Like, even if they don't take over, they can still run the ship until someone new takes over.
Agreed.
You know?
Right. And I think Chief Lynch stood up and said, you know.
Not me.
I did it while he was away. Please.
And considering, you know, that's actually telling, because he actually has a master's in public administration.
He does.
And even so, it was like, no, this is too much. So,
Right.
I do think, you know, people don't realize, you know, we always talk about comparing, you know, the town to a business. And, you know, I have sort of a background in public administration. I have a bachelor's in it. But it's a very different beast than business, because with business, you're responsible to the shareholders. And usually they're, you know, they kind of have a similar outlook as to what you need to do. With a master's of public administration, you have 9 different bosses, more or less, as a town administrator, and you have to worry about what the public thinks, and you have to manage everything.
Right.
So you're juggling a lot more, and you know you're doing it with a lot less.
I would posit that it's more of a parallel, except for some of the responsiveness that a business has because of some dollar adjustments they can make versus the government world. So just shifted. So instead of stakeholders, you've got the public. Because effectively the $170 million or whatever it is servicing the public. Turn on the water, drive down the street, go to the senior center. All of those are services that we as residents get, right? So, yeah, we can complain a little bit, but we don't have a choice as to where else we can go unless we pick up and move. As opposed to on the business side, clearly, if you don't like the service, you either go to a competitor, right? You got that choice. But there, I see them more parallel. Obviously, there are different dynamics. The one key piece is if the business is short, well, they can hire somebody and then cover it some way, whereas on the town side, you're stuck within the 2.5. So as long as they can manage within the 2.5, they're okay. But if they try to go above the 2.5, then the stakeholders, taxpayers, come in.
With a business, it's easy to say, okay, who's buying your product? You're doing a good job or you're not.
Right.
Where with the public, you know, you have education. You don't see the effects of that right away. You have to look at the public.
It takes time.
You have to look at public goods and public policy that figure out the effects of your actions as a government, where a business, they just want to sell more goods. You know, they don't have to do that.
Right. So. And then because the government is so systemic, people take it for granted. So there's lack of engagement. And then there was a survey I touted recently where 80% of the population does not care or follow local government. So we complain about having lack of turnout at certain elections. We're lucky we get the 20% we do for a local. We're lucky we get the 45% we do for an override, when 80% of the people don't even follow local government because it's so expected. They're going to provide us the services. That's what they're supposed to do.
And then you have other states that have county governments, and then, oh boy.
And then you get different layers. Well, other states also have a school district that does their own funding. I remember when we moved in from Jersey. I had been in Jersey for a while, moved here on a corporate relo. I said, wait a minute, this was supposed to be Taxachusetts. But my property tax here was less than the school tax in Jersey, not even counting the property tax, which was a separate thing. And yet we were supposed to be Taxachusetts. So I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Perspective. Obviously, people here in Mass wanted that 2.5, and they made the change, and that tag is stuck.
And I think, like I said, the goal isn't to get, you know, ideally, in a deal word, it wouldn't be to get rid of Prop 2.5. It would be to make sure that's adjusted.
Indexed, at least for inflation.
Yeah.
That, I think, would be the one, which then would require, because it was a citizen's initiative, it would have to be another citizen's initiative in order to do that.
Right. And I've been disappointed. I've been to a legislative breakfast for the MMA, and they don't seem interested in doing anything with it. So it's been disappointing.
Well, because it needs to be a citizen's initiative, they're not an org that's going to help that.
Well, I mean, they are, I mean, they do represent citizens.
They manage the services for citizens. Yeah. We need, you know, whether it's, you know, the Franklin for All Folks or the Holliston for All Folks or, you know, the various communities to get together and, you know.
Oh, as well as, I mean, unions can help as well, too, theoretically.
True. Any of the employees, clearly, whether unified or not, absolutely.
I do think one of the key points that we almost hit earlier is this idea that, and I just want to repeat it because it needs bears repeating, that the problem we face is cost of services go up more than 2.5%.
Correct.
And we can only fund things with ad revenue, that 2.5% to our revenue base each year. So something's got to be cut.
Right.
You know, something's got to make the difference.
And that's where growth, that new growth, is really critical. Mm-hmm. If we can get new growth more than the 2.5, then we're okay. And that's why we've had some years where we haven't had to do it, because we've had sufficient new growth.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the other good thing is I have been working with the assessor's office, and they are looking to hire someone to look at, they are looking into whether we can audit personal property to see if we can actually, we're counting everything we should be counting.
Right.
And so the concern is that, you know, we rely on people to self-report, and it's sort of when they have, like, businesses have property that they need to declare. Mm-hmm. And so the goal is, okay, if they're not reporting, well, maybe we should double check, have some enforcement mechanism so people will be more likely to actually report. And that maybe will result in some new growth, but we're waiting on the assessor's office to see.
So. Right, right.
Because actually only, like, half of the new growth is actual buildings. It's that, so most of it is actually personal property.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yep. Into the weeds, lots of decisions, lots of choices, lots of discussions leading to those choices and the votes.
And it's still not too late if you have a comment on the budget to come to a meeting, to email your counselor, counselors including me. I've only received a handful of emails, not a lot, regarding the budget. For all the people, if everyone who was worked up about, you know, saying there's waste, I haven't seen much, so.
Well, and that, I've said in another fact, but effectively the FinCom going through four nights, 17 hours, they effectively validated the budget by only finding a little bit here and there. That effectively validates the budget. Right. So there's nothing there because they're just not any people off the street. They're CFOs, CIOs, COOs, and they've got that financial wherewithal to really look at and understand the finances, and they weren't able to come up with anything.
And, you know, like I said, if in 2029 we face millions of dollars in cuts, you know, if you look at the budget, there's not a lot of places it can be cut.
Nope.
And I think, you know, I think it's important for people to do the math and realize what's at risk.
Mm-hmm. Change the services. So, yeah, if you think the roads are bad now, the roads would get worse. Anyway, that's the future. We got the present to worry about. So, FinCom session, you've got a session on the 10th and then on the 17th.
Yes, and I also have an EDC meeting I'm actually going to be chairing on Thursday.
Ooh.
Michael Blank is on vacay or business trip or one of those things.
Okay.
So, you know, it's going to be a short meeting, but I think we're going to be going over some of our goals for sort of what we want the town to look like going forward. And I know people have had a lot of input on that, and so I think that's it's another way to get your voice heard on that. So.
Sure, yeah. And then the rest of the month of June, it's really just like busting with events. We've got Porch Fest coming up, and then Strawberry Stroll, the watch party over 2 days, and then we're into the 4th of July and all the 4th of July stuff. I mean, it's just, it's happening. Oh, and Farmer's Market.
Yes, Farmer's
every
Market.
Week.
Yes, every week. And I'll have a booth at the Strawberry Stroll. It's going to be Tetris. So it's like a giant Jenga Tetris game. It's great for the kids. And it's an opportunity for me to socialize, get to know the community a little bit better. Town Franklin is having their own booth, separate, just to sort of, you know, like I said, listen to people.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And then I think the school committee is going to have their own booth, too, but don't quote me on that.
I believe they are.
So, you know, we're doing what we can to listen as a community. So right. I just want to make sure people realize we're out there. And then there's also Pride. Pride, the LGBTQ community is coming together for Pride later this month as well.
Saturday the 27th, rain date the 28th. Yeah. So, there's a lot happening. So I'll put a plug in. Follow the community calendar, whether you get the daily version at Franklin Matters or the weekly at Franklin Matters Weekly. The calendar's updated and changing and adding all the events because there's an awful lot going on.
I think we need a lunar calendar version or something. I don't know. You know, monthly, you know, weekly, you know, I don't know. I think Mercury travels around the sun every 88 days, so we need one for that calendar,
okay,
too. So,
right, yeah. Right. I'll have somebody else. Yeah. Maybe we'll use AI to do that one. There's enough keystrokes in I don't have enough bandwidth to do that. Okay. Well, thank you for taking time to recap.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. You know, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.